Hello, and welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do and judge them on those terms rather than what they cannot do. This is our second series of episodes, and this is going to be on COVID-19. We're looking at online education, how it affects schools, how it affects students, how it affects everybody. And administrators too, right, Rebecca?
That's right.
Okay. And today we're interviewing Rebecca. Go ahead, Rebecca. I already blew it.
Rebecca Gertzel.
Rebecca Gertzel. Okay. Yes. And she is the principal at Chautauqua. I got Chautauqua right because my kids went there. So
Chautauqua Elementary
here on Vashon Island. And how many students go to Chautauqua?
We have about 500 students at Chautauqua.
Okay.
And we're kindergarten through fifth grade, but then we also have a preschool program as well.
Okay. And how long have you been there at Chautauqua?
This is my fifth year.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's kind of a not quite an oldie for Vashon yet, but, at least you have some Vashon cred, I guess, in the system.
A little bit. Yes. I lived here 27 years ago for 1 year, so that helps a little bit.
Right. Well, all my kids went through the schools and everything. And, you know, one of the things that's been kind of interesting in talking about this issue of online education, and I've really tried to get a broad perspective. I thought pretty much at first, everything was going to be kind of negative. It was going to be kind of the sky is falling. And I certainly know that there are lots of problems and lots of issues, and primarily just getting the system up and going, but I've also, heard positives too. So I kind of want to talk about both. Tell me what this last year has been like for you. The part of the last school year too, but since this COVID hit.
Yeah, we have learned things we had no idea we would be learning. You know, we set goals and we just achieved very different things. And so when I look at where we were in last March when we first went remote and to compare to the system we developed for this fall, I mean, just night and day. Like, we've really developed an excellent online program this fall. I mean, as good as it can be. But, you know, it's still an online program, which doesn't work for everyone, but we started last year with just like one recorded lesson per subject area every week for students, and had kind of low engagement and involvement with learning and kind of didn't know how long this would go on. And then we had time in the summer to really prepare to roll out a program that was going to better meet the needs of our students and our families. And it's been great. It's been a huge learning curve. But now our students have three core online classes every day, plus small group support classes, specialist classes, and so we've really made a balance of online classes throughout the day that build that connection and that learning for students that, you know, in real time with their teacher, while also providing small group support for the kids that need it and having the flexibility that if it's not working for some students, they can vary how much time they are online and how much time they're kind of doing independent work with their parents. So there's what we call synchronous and asynchronous options. So it really is a pretty rich program that we're offering to our families in this mode. And that being said, it's still not working for quite a few of our students. So
sure,
that's the positives
sure.
and the negatives.
Yeah, I know, I've done some work with Tacoma School District. I do some educational consulting and with Seattle. And I know, one of the problems was simply getting everybody online, just getting the and making sure people had internet you know, in the houses, and making sure that people knew how to connect to that, because I think that that was a problem. Do you think that most students are getting connected now, or do you have, I know Mr., I think is it John Stanton who does the technology, does he work with those kinds of issues too?
Yeah, you know, that was a big push in the spring to try to get everyone connected. And then in the fall, we came back knowing which parents had trouble, who needed hotspots. We provided internet hotspots with them. We had a few families that really struggled even with the hotspot. You'd find AT&T didn't work in their home, so then we tried a Verizon hotspot or T-Mobile. And so there were a few families that, you know, depending on where they're living on the island, really struggled with that with the connectivity, and no matter what we can provide, still have the low bandwidth. And so we do have some of those challenges for both staff and students, but we have connected every family. We don't have any kids out there that are not connected due to lack of internet. We gave Chromebooks to all of our students that needed them in, I know, grade 6 through 12, we just gave them to each student. At the elementary level, it was, you know, whoever requested one could get one. So we did spend the first month of school just making sure, you know, everyone's connected, everyone's got their computer, and then they need to know how to use it. And so that's another learning curve for our staff and our students.
And one of the things that I've, you know, heard also from talking to the folks in, you know, in Tacoma and Seattle is that, you know, a lot of the teachers also need the technology to build their skills so that. But I think that the programs that we, do you use Zoom or do you use Microsoft Teams or?
Google Meet. We use Google Meet.
Okay.
And then we chose Seesaw as our learning management program at the elementary, and that's been wonderful compared to Google Classroom in the spring for the younger students. So even little kids, they can upload a video to their teacher explaining how they solved a problem or take a picture of something and submit it, and they can draw on the screen. And so it's much easier to manage for a younger student. Because in general at Chautauqua, you know, we really limited technology for the K-2 students and intentionally didn't have a focus on tech until third grade. And so it's been a real turnaround for us needing to for our students and then for our teachers. And the use of this online platform and doing it well, you know, took a lot of learning. So we did it. We've done a book study on the distance learning playbook, which is like a book, a resource book for teachers, and it's amazing the progress they've made. I mean, really, really astounding. Our teachers are quite great learners.
You know, one of my friends who's a college professor and does a lot of classes online, he has purposely made his, he has three kids, three elementary school kids. Has purposely made them a kind of a non-device family because he wanted them to, you know, get into books and things like that. And now he's, of course, in the situation where he now has to do all that learning. And, you know, and he's got three kids on three computers in the house as well as himself at the same time.
Yeah.
So how do you, has the school really addressed and how to look at, you know, especially with, I think elementary and middle school, well, I guess I shouldn't even throw in high school, but they're all, you know, the socialization factor is also really critical. Are there things that you can do online to also build those behavioral and socialization skills?
Yeah, you know, that's a hard one in this digital environment. And so we, within our Google Meets, you know, we have breakout rooms where you can put students in a small group together within the classroom to solve math problems together, to talk about a topic. And so that's one way, you know, we provide that socialization for students to chat with one another. And I'll just really making sure that the classes are interactive, so they're taking part, whether it's by hand signs or by writing something in the chat or students sharing information and just making opportunities for kids so they're not just passive learners. But breakout rooms have been a great one for us in terms of student interaction. But then there's only so far we can go. Like, we are looking forward to being able to have some in-person opportunities for our students. And we have had some students back in the building. We've got our preschool back in the building. We have some students that qualify for special education back in the building. And so while we have provided that for very, very limited number of students, it is it has been important for us, and we know that's successful. Even our counselor meets with a few kids during the week, and they go for a walk in the woods and chat.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think those kinds of things are important. I also worked with Eatonville, and they've got a large outdoor program, and so they're starting to bring some, you know, kids back into those types of things. But now we've got the, hopefully have the vaccine coming, and I was just down here. I noticed that at the pharmacy, they've got a big big building built up and back where I'm sure they're going to do that. And they said that even Starbucks is going to be involved in get a latte and a shotte, I guess, or something at the same time. But,
yeah, there you go. No, our school nurse has been really, really proactive with that and talking to the pharmacist at the pharmacy, and they're planning a drive-through sessions for school staff, and I mean, we're preparing to try to get our staff vaccinated as soon as we can.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I think it's almost kind of a, you know, when, of course, you know, I'm an old geezer, but when I was in school, I remember lining up in my class to get shots for get shots for polio. The Salk vaccine was big.
Yeah.
And then also for the smallpox, they did all those kinds of things right there in the school. So it seems like that would be a good place to do it with the school nurse, you know, available.
Yeah, so we're going to help do that out at the pharmacy. But, yeah, I was a principal in Costa Rica, and we used to do that. You would have they'd come in and immunize right in the school building. And the kids are there. It was an easy way to get it done. But that is not something we've done here in Washington. It's going to be up to parents to... to manage that.
And it's interesting what I always learn on these interviews, because Costa Rica is one of my favorite countries, and I'm working with a little school there to give them supplies and stuff. It's called Sangredo, and a little dinky town up by the Arenal volcano. But, but anyhow, we'll have to talk about that.
We'll talk about that another time.
That's right, yeah. how about, like, lunches and breakfasts? Are those... I know there are some kids that really rely on the school for those kinds of services.
I know. You know, that's been a huge challenge. And our food service staff has been just outstanding. And so we have, you know, breakfast and lunch food bags ready and available for pickup every day, Monday through Friday, at the high school, you know, from 8 to 12. And then we also have vans that go all around the island. And so we've really tried to reach out and get food to kids who need it. Fortunately, this year, the Washington State has said that any kids can qualify. They don't need to show that they qualify for free and reduced lunch. It's just available to all kids. And so that's been wonderful to anyone that needs a meal can go and get one. And so we have a little library where kids can go and get a book. And then at the high school, if people go there to pick up meals, there's also food. With the food bank, there's been some collaboration, so you can pick up school supplies, you can get library books, you can get food from the food bank and a lunch and breakfast bag. So that's been going really well.
You know, that really makes a lot of sense, too, at least for this kind of a system, not to have some criteria. I mean, the worst thing you could do, you know, is set up a, you know, people aren't going to use it unless they need it, first of all. And to set up some kind of criteria, you almost create this bureaucratic monster of who can have a lunch and who can't. And what a smart idea to make it available to others.
No, it's wonderful. And I mean, there's no stigma. You know, anyone can get a lunch.
Exactly.
And it helps our system. If more kids get lunches, it helps the whole system run. So we actually encourage people to use it and get a meal. And that's a good thing for our community.
Yes. Do you think, and I know you don't have a magic wand that you can't wave, because I'm sure if you did, you had been waving it frantically the last year. But do you have a good sense that we're going to have a fairly good population of students by fall this next year?
Oh, I do. I don't know. I'm always an optimist. So
yeah,
I'm assuming by next fall we're going to be doing great. Yes.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, we are planning for the return of students in a hybrid model mm-hmm. before this year's out. So I don't think we're not going to have to wait that long. And so we are excited to be able to bring students back in the building.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Another thing, now this is just, you know, from being an educator for 50 years or so, it's going to be real interesting to see what happens when the kids come back to school too. Go ahead.
Sorry, it sure will be. We've been thinking about that. Just, well, the students that are going to be coming back sooner, and then, you know, thinking about everyone next year. But even for our students coming back now, really thinking about how do we rebuild their compassion for one another, passion for learning, confidence,
yes.
building bonds with each other and with their teacher. There have been some students, you know, that are in little learning pods with their friends and a lot getting a lot of support from their family, and they still have some social interactions that, you know, they're smaller and it's guided, but they're still having interactions. And then there's some kids that really aren't, and they haven't had exposure and they haven't had social interactions. And so figuring out what kids' needs are, and before we kind of rush in to fix them, you know, giving them time to build community and with one another and meeting them where they are, I think will be our first step in coming back and really focusing on social emotional well-being, community building, cooperation. All that will have to be primary when we return.
And I used to be involved quite a bit in early childhood education, and you know, one of the important things is, of course, and I know you know this too, with the with your kindergartners in your first grade and your second grade, I mean, there's a lot of learned behaviors that how to stay in a seat, how to, you know, when to raise your hand and when not to raise your hand, that hopefully some of these skills have been carried through in the summer, but they're also going to have to be relearned, and that's going to put a little pressure on everybody. And
for sure.
You know,
I think some of our older students might have learned more independent learning skills in distance learning. Like, that's possible. You know, I'm hopeful about that. But I think, especially for our younger students, a lot of them have gotten a lot of help from their parents. And so coming back and kind of being a more independent learner might be a challenge for some students.
Yeah, and I think also, too, you know, one of the positives that I see, and I've heard this from, you know, quite a few people, is we kind of realize that, my gosh, a teacher doesn't just work 6 hours a day, you know, that they, mm-hmm. you know, they realize how complex the job is. And when you're working with all those different kids, and you're working with, social emotional skills, as well as, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, it gets to be, it can be pretty difficult. I'm kind of hoping that, this is my hope, but I'm kind of hoping that, that when the kids come back, they'll, you know, have some time to kind of, you know, reacclimate and not hit the ground running right off the bat. You know, take some time.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's what you were saying too.
It's gonna take some time. That's for sure. Yeah, and I think parents have this year become really aware of the job of the teacher. And so one nice thing that's come out of this is families really understand where their kids are and what they're learning. they don't need to ask the teacher what's going on in class. They can see it right there. So that's been one of the benefits, is that closeness that's happened between, you know, what happens at school and what kids are learning and what parents know about it. So that's been one of those benefits.
I think that's a really, really important, really important component, is that, you know, before, I think, parents were involved in education. I don't mean to say that, but, you know, you put the kids on the bus or you dropped them off at school and you picked them up after school, and that was kind of your involvement, where now your home is the school. And so, like you say, parents know, what happens, and that's really, really good. How about sports and those kinds of things?
You know, we have, at the elementary level, you know, we don't have that many external sports teams. Like, I know the high school has been having sports practices already in small groups. And so at the elementary level, we're thinking more about how do we get kids moving. And so every week we have a reading and fitness log that kids complete so that we try to get them outside and doing some activity. And when we come back, that's going to be our priority, too. Like, when they're out at recess, just getting movement happening. Because I do think some kids have just been sitting at home for too long.
Right.
And maybe watching things or doing video games. And what we've heard from other schools that have come back already in hybrid is that fitness, even for the younger kids, has been a concern. And that they've really needed to get kids moving because they found that they were more sedentary during this time. So it's something we'll be thinking about when we get kids back and how much we can get them moving. And it is something we focus on now, just encouraging that movement. But there's only so much you can do when they're at home on their own.
Yeah, and I think that that's true. Also just things like even some of the after-school activities that kids used to have.
Right, yeah.
You know, kind of reintroduce some of those so that they're, they're also part of the lives and everything. Have you done your conferences with parents? Have those all been done online too? And is that correct?
You know, we didn't do our normal conferences. So we did conferences right at the beginning of the year so that there could be some connection and you get to know your teacher. And so we moved them much earlier in the year. And then parents, some teachers have been doing conferences throughout the year, where we have an office hour at the end of the day every day where kids can check in if they have any questions. And teachers have been arranging meetings with parents, just being really open to communicating whenever the need arises instead of just having it certain days of the year. So we haven't had our traditional conferences this year, but we've had a lot more communication than we've ever had.
I know you're talking to your teachers, of course, all the time. What have their concerns been, and where do they feel that they need more training? Is that an issue? How do you support them too?
You know, in the beginning of the year and this transition to distance learning, we needed a lot of training, and so we did really we had to front load that with distance learning. And as I said, we kind of did some book studies together. We have professional development every Friday afternoon. And so we really grew in the areas of racial equity, of just how to manage things online. So we've done a lot of professional development for teachers. And then with this transition to some kids, more kids coming back in a hybrid model, that's another learning curve for teachers. And so it's about figuring out what teachers need and then getting them the supports they need. And they really support one another. We've got teachers work in grade level teams, and we have certain teachers that will provide technology support. Our office manager provides technology support. And so we help one another in lots of different ways, depending on, you know, what people's needs are. And it's not just the teachers. We have a large support staff. Our instructional assistants are teaching small groups. You know, they're instructors, and they have more independence in some of these classes because they're, you know, small online groups. So there's been a big learning curve for our whole staff community.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And hopefully that in the years to come that this will be kind of the beginning of really, you know, we've always had PTA and, you know, those kinds of organizations. And I know here on Vashon, there's, you know, scholarship organization and PI and all those different kinds of things. But I think hopefully this will really help motivate some of the students and some of the families out there to get more involved with the education, too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
How do we deal with how do the district deal with some of the issues that are more hands-on, maybe for some of the students that are on IEPs or 504s?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So the hands-on reminds me of one thing is that we've done that's, I think, kind of unique, is we call it the hub at the high school, where parents can come and get supplies. And so we have not stopped providing hands-on science. Like, we have packets for kids where the parents go and pick it up, and then, you know, it's all online, but they'll do the science experiment, and we'll do art projects online. And so, and we actually, thanks to donations from PI, you know, we sent home math manipulatives to students. And so, you know, we made sure that the things kids needed in their hands, you know, they got at home. Our special education department makes packets for kids that have hands-on activities that we send home. Some students that aren't able to really connect online very well, you know, they've got offline materials. And so we've had to actually deliver a lot of those hands-on materials if it's not at the high school for pickup. And so we've given kids kind of what they need as much as we can, you know, at
yes,
a distance
yeah.
to use at home. So that's been a big challenge, but we've got a pretty robust program there at the high school for delivering and picking up materials.
I know that there's a fairly large Latino community here on Vashon. How about, how do we work with kids that maybe English is not the language spoken in the family, at home? Do we have ways of getting to those students too?
Yeah, you know, that is a challenge. And if you look at all the research about distance learning, and it's been really hard on our English language learners. And so at Chautauqua, We have some support staff. I speak Spanish, and we have some support staff that speak Spanish and really make those connections with families to figure out what they need. And that was a larger learning curve at the beginning of the year to get families online and to understand our system. So that took a lot of time and effort in the beginning to get everyone connected and understanding, you know, how to access. And then we have an English language support teacher and paraeducator that works with her, and so that we can provide small group support for students. A lot of our English language learners also receive math and reading support through our, you know, our title and lap programs. And so while they may have, you know, their core classes just like everyone else, in the afternoon they'll have additional, like a half hour reading, half hour math, half hour English language support. So it may be a lot of time on the computer, but it is a lot of small group support. So
yeah.
You know, we're trying as best we can. It's hard at a distance. You don't, you know, it's just not the same for language development being on a screen like that.
Well, and I think that's, you know, I think those things are, not to make an excuse at all, but I think those things are kind of inherent with the way this pandemic has developed. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, it was like the 1st of March last year, we had our, literally had our first case in the Seattle
right.
area.
Mm-hmm.
And bam, within 3 weeks, we were staring it right in the face, and we had no model for this. We had no...
Right.
We had no idea. We thought, I think we kind of thought for a while, and I talked to other administrators, kind of like, you know, we get measles in a school. You know, we close the school down for a couple of weeks. Kids come back. Everything is fine. And
right.
we just simply wasn't like that at all. It affected everything. It affected the families. It affected the jobs. It affected where you could even go. You know, there's always been an issue in Vashon with what do kids do after school and where do you go to play and things. And parks were shut down. So,
it's huge struggles for families. We've worked in collaboration with Camp Self and with Vashon Kids to provide full day care for students. And so some of our English language learners, our Latino families, have taken part in those opportunities as well. I know there's an organization, Comunidad Latina de Vashon, and we've worked with them to provide resources and tutoring for kids. And so Vashon Youth and Family Services provided counseling. And so we've really worked cohesively kind of with this community to pull together and do the best we can for our students. But, you know, we know this is hard on families.
Yes. Well, we're just about running out of town. I've not been run out of town yet. So far, I haven't done anything too bad on Voice of Asia to get run out of town. But first of all, let me just ask you this one last question. Do you think this has made you a better principal going through this year?
You know, I just it's been a year of learning, and so every year makes you a better principal, right? Because every year you learn something new. So, I mean, I hope there's never another pandemic that I need to be the principal of a school in, but I certainly have learned to be a creative problem solver, collaborator, compassion, understanding for parents. I mean, it's just you learn and continue learning and learn to make plans that never happen, and then more plans and more plans. And so, yeah, constantly, everything we learn makes us better.
Okay, well, that sounds great. And I would love to talk to you about Costa Rica, because I have a real closeness there, and that would be interesting. So
yeah, let's do that sometime.
Yeah, well, maybe when we can actually talk in person. So you take care and have a wonderful day.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And, okay, have a wonderful day. All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
And thank you, Vashon, for listening. And I hope we brought some more good information to you on schools and what they're doing to handle this pandemic. Goodbye. This is Steve Nurse. We will see you again next week.